Father, I want to thank you for today and for this special time of year and for each one again gathered here. I pray for the children that are up front with me, that you would use what I have to say and the PowerPoint to teach us, to show us what a precious time of year this is that we celebrate and remember the birth of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if I was to ask you, why Christmas? What would you tell me? Jesus? Did you forget? But if I was to go a little farther and say, why Jesus? Because what? So that we could all go to heaven. And then I would ask, why do we need Jesus to go to heaven? Because we can't do it ourselves. And I would say, why can't we do it ourselves? We need him to get up there? Yeah. Why do we need him? See, I'm a two-year-old today. 2 years old, 2 year-olds always ask the why. Because we're sinners. Why am I a sinner? Because Adam and Eve sinned. Now we're getting somewhere. Just a second. So we're going to learn this story today. And parents, the reason I am taking the children through this is because I think we miss a lot of this. We celebrate the birth of Christ and Christmas, and we may read the Christmas story, but I don't know that we sometimes really share with the children why this is really so important. We kind of skim over it, and we're grateful and all of that, but there's a big reason why God did what he did. So, are you ready? In order to do this, we have to go back to the very beginning, all right? Can you travel back in time with me? You can't? Well, you can today because we're going to get on the ship, all right? So imagine that we're on this spaceship, all right? Everybody got their seatbelts on? Well, get your seatbelts on. All right, get your helmet on. All right, and we got to have a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. And here we go, we're gone. And they're going through time. Well, this is going to take forever. We won't get out of here by who knows. We better speed up, all right? So we're going to go a little bit faster. 2,000 years, 4,000 years, just a second, 6,000 first, all right? And we go back into time, and boom, now we're back before there was anything, and the only thing that existed now was God, because God is eternal. He has always been and always will be. Our little minds can't comprehend that. But when we look around at creation, we have to admit that everything is so wonderfully put together that there had to have been a God. And so in eternity past, there was only God. And then God decided that he would like to create. And so in the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth, all right? So when you look up in the stars, you see God's handiwork. Can you say that? God's handiwork. And it reminds us. In fact, the Bible says that if we would look at creation and really take time to spend digging deep into creation, it says every one of us is without an excuse. You cannot look at all creation and see all the beauty and the details and the varieties and all of that to think that it just happened. So the Bible says that creation itself leaves us without an excuse. But creation can't lead us to God because it doesn't tell us anything about God except that he must be there and he created all of this. So God created the heavens and the earth and he has everything in his hands. Can you say he's got the whole world in his hands? Can you say it? He's got the whole world in his hands. He does. Everything is in his power and in his hands. But in all that creation, there was one planet that was special. Which planet was it? It was Earth. And so this one particular planet, he decided that he was going to do something really, really cool. And so on this planet Earth, he made a garden. A beautiful garden with all kinds of plants and that. And so he had 6 days that he's going to do this wonderful creation. And so as he created, he made birds. And then he made animals. And he even made fish, all right, for the sea. But as God was doing all this creation, and he made the animals, he made the birds, he made the fish, he finally said to his Son and to the Holy Spirit, let us, more than one, the triune God, let us make man in, does anybody know? In our own image. So God created man. Does that mean that God has two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two arms, and two feet? No, because God is spirit, but he made man in his own image in that he gave him a mind that we might know him and learn about him. He gave him emotions that we could love him. And then he gave us a will. Does anybody know what a will is? No? A will to do stuff? Yeah, it allows me to make decisions, and I can make good decisions or bad decisions, yeah. So he created us in his own image. He gave us a mind that we would know him and learn about him. He gave us emotions that we would love him. He's our creator. But he gave us a will that we each then would make decisions in regards to whether or not we obey or not obey. One of the things that Adam had to do right off the bat was name all the animals. How many animals can you name? Well, just one at a time. Give me an animal. Lion. A what? A quest? Quest? Horse. I got it? All right. I'm sorry. A zebra. A rhino, a giraffe, fox, a lion, a tiger, a bear. Oh my, what's that? A tiger. All right, we got enough. So he had Adam go along and name all these animals. And when Adam was done, he said, there's no one like me. And so God caused a deep sleep to come on Adam. And Adam went to sleep. Yeah. God had Adam go to sleep, and the first operation took place. And God took a rib. Can you feel your ribs? God took a rib out of Adam, and he made woman. All right? So we've got the garden, and there's woman. And it said, Adam said, now this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. I shall call her woman. Can you say, whoa, man? Yeah. All right. He made woman. And everything was beautiful. After the 6 days of creation, God looked at it all, saw man and woman, and placed them in the garden. And everything was very, very good. And God made sure that man was well taken care of. And so in this garden, there were all kinds of trees and fruits and berries and all of this. And God said to Adam, you can eat all of this, but there's one tree. One tree you should not eat. The tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Because the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's right. And so God told him, you can eat all the fruit, but there's one that you cannot. But there was a serpent in the garden. And the serpent caused them to doubt God's word. Now, how would you like to have been there? Would you like to have been there and heard all of this? Would you? Well, we're way back in time, so we're going to go. Are you ready? Watch it.
What you choose. What do you mean?
Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, you've touched the fruit and you did not die.
I feel everything.
God told us not to.
I know, Adam. I know.
When they ate of the fruit, sin came into the human race. And when they ate of that fruit, they became sinners. And not only did they become sinners, but every child born into the human race would be born sinners, separated from God. So if we were to go way back in time, we begin to see what had happened in the garden. And we see that something had happened between man and God. Because after this happened, God, well, first, the wages of sin is death. They went and hid. They heard God in the garden. And God had walked with man. And he came into the garden and he said, Adam! Adam, where are you? But they had hid because they knew they had sinned and they made themselves clothing out of fig leaves. And so God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam came out and said, I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid. And God said, why were you afraid? And Adam said, well, I was naked. And God said, how did you know you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree? And they had. And sin had broke that relationship that Adam had with God. And so God had to try to fix it temporarily. And so God had to kill some animals. Before this, there was no death. There was no disease. There was none of this stuff. But because sin came into the world, death came into the world, and disease came into the world, and all the problems that we see in this world that we live in is all because of that. And so God killed a couple of animals and made clothes for Adam and Eve. But in order to do that, he was showing them that the wages of sin is death. And he had to kick them out of the garden. And so they were chased out of the garden and now into the big world. But God made a promise. One day there would be the snake crusher. Someone who would come and crush that old serpent, that old snake who is the devil himself. And find victory and be able to give us freedom from our sins and hope for eternal life. And so God said, one day, Adam, one day, Eve, I am going to take care of all of this and I will send the snake crusher. Can you say that? Snake crusher. Yeah. So Adam and Eve looked forward to the snake crusher. And so did Noah and Moses and Abraham and all of the Old Testament saints. They looked forward to the snake crusher to come. So now we're going to go ahead in time. Are you ready? We're going to go 4,000 years ahead of time, and boom, there's a little young lady, 14 years old maybe, Anybody here 14? You're not 14. Back there. Stand up, Ashton. There's Ashton, but he's a boy. All right, sit down. Yeah, about, we'll say 14-year-old young lady. Her name was Mary. And an angel came to Mary and said, Mary, we've all been waiting, haven't we, for the snake crusher to come, the Messiah. You, Mary, you are the chosen one. You are going to give birth to the Messiah. You're going to give birth to the Redeemer. You're going to give birth to the one who's going to bring salvation to mankind and deliver them from their sins. And so Mary said, how can this be? I don't have a relationship with a man. And so the Holy Spirit told her not to worry about this. The angel told her not to worry about this. The Holy Spirit would come and she would be found with a baby. But she had a boyfriend. And they were planning to get married. They were planning to get married. All right? And she began to wonder, what's going to happen now? Because if Joseph finds out that I'm pregnant, what will happen? Well, God came to Joseph one night when he was asleep and woke him up and said, Joseph, you don't need to worry about taking Mary to be your wife. This is all part of God's plan. This is all part of the plan. She is carrying the Messiah, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, who will be born. Yes. Who will be born. And so Mary and Joseph became husband and wife, and Mary is carrying the Messiah. Well, at that time, a law had been passed that everybody had to go to their own birth country and pay taxes. So Mary and Joseph have to travel a long ways to Bethlehem. And when they get to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn, in the regular lodging places, but they found a spot to where they gave birth to the Messiah and laid the baby Jesus where? In a manger. And so the Messiah was born. The snake crusher had finally come, and Jesus was here. And the reason Jesus was coming was to bring salvation to mankind. He knew, God knew, even before all of this, that in order to save me and to save you, Jesus would have to go to the cross of Calvary and die in our place. And so even back in the Garden of Eden, when the promise was made, now with Mary giving birth to Jesus, the snake crusher had come. Then the angel goes to the shepherds and says to the shepherds, guess what? Today is born the Messiah. A Savior has been born, and you can find him lying in a manger. So the angels go and look, and when they go, what do they find? They find the baby lying in a manger. The Messiah has been born. But 33 years later, this little baby, this little innocent baby that was born, that was promised to Adam and Eve that one day the Messiah would come, 33 years later, he would go to the cross of Calvary and die for who? For us. I want you to get real personal. He went to the cross and he died for who? Yes, but get more personal. He went to the cross and he died for who? Me. Can you say that? He died for me. Why did he die for me? Because I was a sinner. Sin had broken the relationship with God. And so God was going to fix that problem. And Jesus was born in order that he might die, that he might take away my sins, that I could be forgiven. So the snake crusher was finally here, and he was going to remedy the problem that happened way back in the Garden of Eden. So the old serpent was defeated. The Messiah had come, and on the cross of Calvary, God's just demands for sin was satisfied and fulfilled. Remember, the wages of sin is what? Death, eternal separation. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and he promises that whosoever will put their faith and trust in him, and him alone, will have eternal life. Did you know that wise men still seek him? You know, the wise men came after Jesus was probably maybe a couple of years old, but the wise men came to see him. And are you wise? What's it mean to be wise? Smart? What else? Intelligent? I don't know. But the wise men came to see him, and we should be wise, every one of us, because we were all children of Adam and Eve. We have all sinned. And because God remedied the sin problem, we should seek him too. The question is, remember God created me with a mind that I would know him. He created me with a heart or emotions that I would love him. But then he created me with a will that I might choose to obey him and to follow him. So the question is, will we follow him? Now remember, all of us have sin. That's supposed to be red. Don't look very red, does it? No, it looks more red on my computer than it does here. But remember, red equals what? What happened to the human race? Sin. So red represents sin. But in order to be with God and to spend eternity with God, I have to be pure and sinless. Is that possible? No, because I have sinned, you have sinned, we have all sinned. Does that mean mom has sinned? Dad has sinned? Yeah. Brother has sinned and sister has sinned? But I haven't, right? Yeah. Oh, I have too. We've all sinned, right? We've all come short of the glory of God, and sin cannot be accepted. God demands purity. Well, Jesus was the sinless one. He was the one who came in order to satisfy God's just demands. He was the one without sin. He was a human being born into the human race, and he lived his life, and he was without sin. But when he went to the cross of Calvary, he satisfied God's just demands. So the candy cane wasn't created for this, but it teaches us, in a way, that God's Son, Jesus, went to the cross, and he washed our sins away. And now we can have that relationship with him. So the question is, God has supplied a gift. In the book of Ephesians, it says, John 3:16. It says, for by grace are you saved, in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift. Can you say that? It is a gift. Salvation is a gift, and the gift is from who? It is from God. But I have to what? Receive it. Last night, we had a little Christmas at our house, and we were sitting there, and we were passing out gifts to one another. And if I gave a gift to Abby, what did she need to do with that gift? Open it. First, she had to receive it. Then she had to what? Open it. And then it was what? It was hers. It was a gift. She had to receive it, open it, and it became hers. Well, that's what salvation is. Boys and girls, I want you to know that God loves each of us, and mom and dad as well. And he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. The reason that Jesus was born was that he would go to the cross of Calvary and die in my place and in your place. He made a way for all of us to have our sins forgiven, but I must ask. But the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I hope that each of you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, maybe today you'll go home and talk to mom and dad and say, mom and dad, I'd like to have that gift that God gave to us, the gift of salvation, that my sins could be forgiven, that I could be a child of his and one day spend eternity with him. And they will be able to help you learn how to do just that. And if mom and dad aren't sure how to do that, you tell them to come see me, and I'll find an elder here that can help them do that. We'll help you. because we want to make sure that all of us have that gift from God. All right? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a little song, and then the praise band's going to come up, okay? Father, thank you for the gift that you have given to us. Thank you for this time of learning, and may it be a reminder for all of us that Christmas is a gift from you, that we each could be forgiven of our sins and have a hope of eternal life with you. I pray for the boys and girls here that each of them, if they don't already know Christ, that maybe today they would do that. What a beautiful Christmas gift that would be. And so I commit them into your hands and pray for the moms and dads and grandparents that you would help them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.